relationship. I thank you for the heart that you are getting ready to bring forth. To our own understanding. Help us trust in you, Lord, without conditions or demands. Help us to surrender and submit to your will and your ways. Because they're not like ours. And bigger. And greater. So I glorify you, Lord. And I thank you. And I ask that you continue to do it. Acceptance and obedience. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Especially about what he wanted me to share tonight. I didn't want to. Not gonna lie, I'm still uncomfortable too. Because I knew in order for me to share it, I had to receive it. And there was some things I wasn't ready to face yet. But I'm gonna be obedient. So this morning when I decided, you know, not to go against God, I had woke up and my baby, she about 7 months now, and she was sleeping on my chest. And I remember, like, thinking, dang, like, when the last time she did this, she was a baby. I'm talking about, like, newborn. And I didn't want to move. I barely wanted to breathe because I didn't want to wake her because it was such a precious moment to me. And I knew that the older that she got, you know, the more she grew, the more she wanted to discover, moments like this would be rare. And that's why the Lord said, that's why you don't talk about it. Because if we knew and truly understood how fast time moves, we would walk a lot slower. And, you know, Lord was telling me the crazy part is the enemy isn't after your possessions, like rather it's relationships or money that's cheap. Like, what is that that's gone, when this world passes away, that's gone? He's after your time. Even like when I start to think about the true value of time, if it wasn't valuable, jobs wouldn't pay you for it. Or even like the justice system, they wouldn't use that to make someone repay a debt to society for a crime they committed, because time is expensive. And it's expensive because it's irreversible. Like, you can't get that back. So the enemy wants to steal our time, but physically he can't do that because he don't have any power other than the power of suggestion. So our time gets stolen from ourselves, because we spend it thinking about what was, what could have been, what was done, what's to gain, what's to lose. So we steal our own time. And so I was like, okay, Lord, so what? And and so and like in the word, I know Ecclesiastes talks a lot about time, and Ephesians, and the word tells us, you know, we should redeem our time, we should use it cautiously, we should be wise about it, and I mean, that sounds easy, like, okay, sure, but how do we redeem time? Like, how do we make use of our time if we're trying to heal from things, we're trying to grow? I just still didn't understand. So the Lord said, first you have to understand the relationship between grace, humility, mercy, and forgiveness. And I said, okay, all right. So with grace, I'm gonna give y'all a definition. So grace is unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification, a virtue coming from God, a state of sanctification enjoyed through divine assistance. And if y'all want to go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. It says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves. It is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." So basically, you know, God's grace is unearned favor. And most of the time it comes before we even know we need it. So that's grace. And next, I'm going to come back to grace. I'm going to go over humility, which we already been talking about for a while now anyways, like Pastor been preaching on it, and how humility is the opposite of pride. So I know I just told y'all to go to Ephesians, but next I want to go to Luke chapter 15. I'm going to start at verse 17. It's the story of the prodigal son. So, when he came to his senses, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you.'" So, first, I love the part when it said he came back to his senses. Because how many times, well, I know for me, it's like walking around in a almost like a trance like state until God or a servant of God give a word or say something, and then it's like you snap out like, what am I doing? Exactly. And like for him, I feel like he was basically like, okay, so I'm out here, I'm broke, I'm hungry, I ain't got nowhere to sleep. Why am I struggling? Like, when I know where I can go. But the problem is, grace is always available, but pride blocks us from receiving it. So, understanding the relationship just between grace and humility. Humility is the key to accepting grace. Because I feel like a lot of times when we're struggling, we know where our resources are. But in order to receive it, we have to admit defeat. And that's hard. It's hard to admit when you fail. So it takes humbling ourselves to open ourselves up to any available blessings, and that's hard. So next, I'm gonna give y'all a definition of mercy. So mercy is compassion or forbearance shown especially to an offender or to one subject to one's power, a blessing that is an act of divine favor or compassion. So if we continue down in Luke chapter 15, verse 22, and it says, "But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.'" So first, I think for the father to even be joyful to see his son, he had to have already had grace for him. And because he knew, like, he himself, like, okay, I've been his age before. You know, I remember the first time I got my first check. You know, he was smelling himself, and he had to go find out for himself. So I ain't gonna need to do him like that. Let's go heat up some food, give him some clothes, somebody gonna ring him a bell. Exactly. Let's just get ready to celebrate.
Right.
And the mercy comes in when there's a mercy is when we don't receive the punishment that we deserve. And instead of what the father could have done, chastised him, said, "See, that's I tried to tell you, you don't listen, you don't know no better, it served you right." Mercy is doing the opposite of what you could do.
Or say.
Yeah. And we do. I know I do. So then the last thing is forgiveness. So to forgive is to cease to feel resentment against, to give up resentment of, or to claim requital. I think the best example of forgiveness is the story of Joseph. And I've been trying for a long time to understand, like, the whole concept of forgiveness. Like, okay, God, I forgive them, but what comes after that? Because I still don't want to be around them. I still don't want to talk to them.
That's the book.
They still did X, Y, and Z. So I still owe them a piece of my mind anyways. But when you take into account grace, humility, and mercy first, forgiveness can easily follow. And so when I think of Joseph, after being betrayed by his brothers and being in captivity, I wonder, like, okay, but how did he go crazy? Because I just imagine if I'm sitting, like, in jail, or I've been taken as a slave because somebody then went behind my back, I would go crazy. I would be mad. I would be plotting on how I'm gonna get them back. Just the idea of being in a situation because of somebody's actions or betrayal against me, I feel like that's enough to make anybody go crazy. So I wonder what was the exception for Joseph. And then, for asking God for better understanding of forgiveness, it's a inner choice that you make within yourself. That's why, like, when we hear forgiveness isn't for the other person, it's for you. It's because, like, there could be somebody who has committed a fault against you, and you forgive them, and they'll never have to know it, because it's something that you make peace with within yourself. And I think that's, Joseph is an example of that. He made peace with himself, with his brothers, with the environment that he was in. He made peace with the season that God was allowing him to endure for his elevation. And so I feel like that's the last piece of when you're talking about all of these together. Forgiveness is just the choice to choose to think differently. Because it's really just a thought process, and what you'll allow your mind to feast on. So to sum it up, grace is the invitation. Humility is the acceptance. Mercy is the covering, and forgiveness is the freedom. Grace is the invitation, because it's always available. Humility is the acceptance, so removing that pride. Mercy is the covering, and forgiveness is where we find our freedom. And so when you walk in grace and humility and mercy and forgiveness, that's where we find our redemption. We find our peace of mind and restoration. So the reason it was so hard, I struggled with God and even sharing this or even thinking about it, because I feel like a lot of our, I know mine, identity is consumed in the grace that I haven't accepted, the refusal to lower myself in humility, the mercy I refused to give because I felt like it wasn't given to me, and not being able to reconcile the forgiveness within myself. And so when, especially with the season that I'm in, and I was talking to God about this, I was like, I don't know, God, like, I just feel like when you put all these together, it made me a simp. Like, I feel like I'm going out sad. Like, I feel, like, seriously, I feel like I'm betraying myself. He said, exactly.
You did it.
That's the point. Because we're supposed to die to ourselves daily.
Daily.
Exactly. And the fact that you feel like you're betraying yourself, that tells you where your pride is. And I didn't realize how painful being in that space or that transition would be, or how scary it would be walking out of a prison I built for myself. 'Cause I feel like a lot of us are, very institutionalized, even if we've never stepped foot in a prison, like institutionalized in our thoughts and in our thinking, because of our past or our traumas, or what people have done to us, because of what's familiar to us. And so I hope that in trying to walk in this redeeming, you know, our time, because I feel like that's another reason why the enemy comes after our time. It's the one thing he know that we can never get back. It's the one thing that can't be you know, restored. Mm-hmm. Like, we started at 7 o'clock, whatever time it is now, 7 o'clock on whatever date this is, that's it. Like, it's gone. You don't get that back. So consider, you know, next time that you start thinking about you know, the things that plague our minds, or the things that is hard to let go of, consider how much of my time am I willing to give away. Or, you know, consider how long am I willing to serve this prison sentence? Or what lessons am I being okay with being absent from? You know, consider how long you're willing to be, how long you're willing to be in bondage. And then reconsider, and reconsider again. So,
amen. That's it. I gotta say some stuff. Amen.
So we, as people, have a tendency of holding on to these things, like she said. And in the midst of us holding on to these things, we never ever reflect on how it's affecting us as an individual. The only thing that we reflecting on is what happened, what was said, what was done, how long it was done, how long it was said, and why.
Yeah, that's why.
Don't forget the why.
Don't forget the why.
Because we want to know the reason. And then when it just all blow up and we ain't got no closure. Let's talk about not having no closure. Especially when somebody gets silent. Or when they can be present and still silent. There go that why again. Don't get that why again. So now, like she said, we got ourselves in a prison. We done encaged our own self through what, y'all? These thoughts, baby, that done turned into notions, that done caused me to start thinking this type of way, acting this type of way, being this type of way, because you don't deserve no mercy. I'm telling y'all, I even said, I got a text today from somebody that I never had even thought about in years. And that text made me laugh, because there was no closure. And now I get a text. So why? Why? And so I found myself, maybe I need to block some folk. Because of my thoughts. And because no closure, silence, because if you understand what I'm saying. So I was kind. And I was nice. In text, but my thought was still like, what the? If you don't get off my phone, you. Because why? What? And so I told my daughter, she was like, Mama, you kidding? I say, baby, I say, I, Yvette, ain't taking nothing from my past into my future. So when I say that, I'm saying that thought from that non-closure, that attitude, that notion, Cause y'all do know we conjure up our own little, we got our own story going on. I don't care what didn't happen, what was said, and what you did, and what I saw, what I heard. This is my story, and I'ma die with it. You see what I'm saying? Cause that's just us as human beings. So we put ourselves in that prison. We put ourselves in that cage. And the Lord showed me one time, he showed me us in a cage. A lion was in a cage and it was in a circus. This is what he showed me one time I was praying. The lion was in a cage and yet the atmosphere that he was in a circus. And he was just going back and forth, rah, rah, trying to get out mad because they wouldn't let him out. But yet it was a circus. And so I thought about the scripture that says just be too much noise going on around us. It's so many. I got a phone call last week. In the midst of me getting a phone call, I just was listening to this individual. And in the midst of me listening to this individual, I was like, so they mad because they ain't getting their way. Or things ain't going the way they want to. And so, why they mad at me? Because a lot of times we don't have nobody else to vent to. Because don't ring my phone if you don't want the truth, Jesus, please. Or you're probably going to be mad. So as I was listening, and then it got silent because you know people want a response. So I said what the Lord put on my heart to say. And I felt the anger and the rage. And I was like, okay. And, well, let me just call you back. I said, okay, sweetie. I love you. And they hung up. And so maybe the next day I said, well, let me call and check. They ain't answered and ain't called back since. Because of them, the why is still there. And because they got themselves in that cage. Let me tell you how we go to that cage. She said it. We lean to our own understanding. Our understanding comes from what we see and what we hear. Oh, when y'all walked in the door. And she sat right there. I was trying not to say nothing. I was just sitting there. I was saying. The Lord said, go ahead and tell her. The Lord said, you got to let the past go. Sometimes we can't get over things because it digs so deep. And the depth of it triggers your emotions because of the passing thoughts. That's what triggers. The passing thoughts. And so it puts us in a place of hard to trust. It puts us in a place of insecurities. It puts us in a place of fear. Oh, let's talk about anger and rage. It puts us in a place, and it's all, she said it tonight, bondage. We put our own self in bondage because of that experience that's hard for me to accept because I don't want to forgive. I don't want to get past it. And why? They're going to say, why again? Why? Because they don't deserve my forgiveness. They don't deserve it. But do you deserve forgiveness? Do you deserve to get past something that somebody did? But we not thinking like that. We pointing the finger like this. Y'all do know three more pointing back at you. So we pointing the finger, and yet we still got that question lingering around in big black bold letters. Why? Because all I did was love you. All I was kind. But this the kicker right here, because I know what I said. I invested too much time and money. You... That time. I wasted all this time Don't you know where I could have been on that? Nope, you was exactly where God wanted you to be when you wanted to be. He had me to tell the people on Sunday that everything that you are going through and everything that you experienced in your life, it had to happen. It had to happen to show you what was inside of you that God wanted to get out. How else is you gonna know all that ugly and mess inside of you if you don't experience something? But then in the midst of our experience, we ain't paying attention to the ugly in us. The only thing we paying attention is the ugly that is being done to us. You see what I'm saying? He had me to preach a sermon, Breaking the Broken. So he got to break some stuff off of you in the midst of your brokenness. Because if you wasn't broken, you wouldn't get down on your knees and cry out to God. You wouldn't go to him and get to talking to him. And 90% of the time when we in a broken state, we going to him, questioning him, talking to him, asking him why, Lord. And then don't mess around and open up this much of your heart. He going to start talking back. Yeah. And then he going to say, well, you did. We ain't talking about me. We ain't talking about, but he wants you to see you so that you will be able to understand them. I need to say that again. If we don't see ourselves, how can we actually have mercy on somebody else? If we don't see ourselves, then we'll never have no compassion. If we don't look at that mirror, we'll never be able to forgive. Forgiving the unforgivable and accepting the unacceptable. It's hard to accept disrespect. It's hard to accept, but sometimes you got to accept it for just what it is. I accept it, but that does not mean that I got to be around it. I accept it. Me not being around it don't mean that I hate you. It just means that I know we gotta have some boundaries, baby. Because if you keep disrespecting me, then I'm gonna have to repent. I'ma have to get, and then I don't wanna go to jail, and I sure don't wanna go to hell. I mean, shit, and that's just real talk. Because when people antagonize you, how easy is it for you not to retaliate? If you want to retaliate in the midst of the antagonizing or in the midst of the lie, the lies. Or either somebody even trying to defame you. How easy is it for you to turn the other cheek? I can't turn the other cheek. I got to turn all the way around and walk away. I have to. Because if I turn the other cheek, I may still see you. I mean, seriously. So I'm just going to turn around and walk away. Because if I don't turn around and walk away, I may not be responsible for my flesh. I'm trying to put my flesh under subjection. And it's just real tall. Because some people ain't even got to say nothing to you. Their presence can just make you want to lay hands, baby. And I ain't talking about Lord touch you. I mean, seriously. And that's just real talk. Especially when it's some pain that done dug deep. And you done invested your time, energy, your money, and all that. But we got to leave the past behind. Get the fucking people some young shit's paper, baby. We got to leave some stuff behind. Because if you take these things into your future, you still going to be in that place of bondage because you're going to be looking for the signs in the next individual. You're going to be looking for the signs on the next job. You're going to be looking for the signs in that next friendship. You understand what I'm saying? How about you don't even want to be dealing with the folk and the people because you ain't giving nobody else a chance to show you the signs? You see what I'm saying? What? I'm just saying. Man, and then they be like, you always by yourself. It's best. Baby, I take my own self out to eat. I want you to pull. I play by myself. I want to, did y'all hear what I say? And that's just real talk. Because, and then where's we segregating and degrading ourselves from even being, because we said, you know what, I ain't finna play that game. When I was growing up, all my friends was mostly males because the women got on my nerve. Because, you see what I'm saying? I can relate to the men and instead of them women, because they cocky and they lie to each other. They just did too much. They did too much. You understand? But I did not know then that God was preparing me now to be able to, because the Bible talks about women. He say they silly women. He say it's nasty women. He say we deceitful. We cunning and we know how to better us to get what we want. He said, he even tells us to be careful. We, as a woman. Lord and behold, he warned the men. And they should know anyway the way Eve soothed Adam to sin. We can get anything we want from men. I mean, seriously. It could be on your job. They mess around and they like you a little bit. You, baby, you could get any and everything you want. Ain't even. Did you hear what I say? Baby. Bat them ass. That's what the Bible say. You better be careful. I'm paraphrasing. You better be careful with the batting of the eyes. He said, don't you be no fool and go in there. You going to be whipped. You going to be in trouble. You see what I'm saying? So we as people, we hold on to these. And then when we're not getting what we want, it could be in a friendship. It could be in a marriage. It could be in a relationship. It could be on your job. It could be because in actuality, we are spoiled. Even if we had to spoil ourselves. You see what I'm saying? And these thoughts. So I want y'all to write down any and everything on that yellow sheet of paper. Write your name first. And I want you to write down that thing, that situation, that person name, that concern, that fear, that tear. Whatever it is that's causing you to be in a place of bondage in your mind where you still be having nightmares and dreams. That. Yeah. We want to do some get back. We don't want to do no get back. We're going to put our flesh under subjection. We're going to stop being so opinionistic. We're going to stand in the gap for them as we stand in the gap for ourselves. Because that's when the healing begins, y'all. When we start praying for the person that offended us or the person that hurt us. That's when it begins. That's when it begins. I want y'all to write down all that stuff. I gotta put this song on. I want y'all to write down all that stuff and get rid of all that stuff because if nothing else on tonight, baby, she said a mouthful. That grace, that humility. Baby, that's way before we even get to the mercy and forgiveness. We got to first be able to accept something. You got to accept that you had to go through that. And what was it that God was trying to show you or teach you why you were going through it? Don't concentrate on what they said or what they did. Concentrate on, Lord, what are you trying to teach me and what are you trying to show me? What you trying to break off of me that tried to break me? Because there's some stuff that we done went through that baby, broke me all the way down to the ground, baby. All I could do was get in a fetus position and cry. I'm talking about me. I don't know about nobody else. I done had them kind of breaks. I done had them kind of breaks that caused me to sit up and premeditate what I'm gonna do next. So, I guess I'm the only one. Okay. All that stuff that I still hold down in my heart. Do we really want to be free from that stuff? Do we really want to let that stuff go?
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Open your mouth and tell him. God, I give you every failure. God, I give you every secret in my life. God, I give you every hidden thing.
So when the Lord told me to anoint your feet, Gigi, he was showing me how he was sweeping and moving some things out your way that you think is a hindrance or is hard. The fruit, you can't pull the fruit off the tree before it gets ripe because it may have a worm in the inside of it. Stop being microwavable. It's going to happen right when it's time to happen. And that's in every area of your life. It don't matter. I can't wait. I don't know what it is you're saying you can't wait. But I can't. Because when we finally be by ourselves, we want to be by ourselves. I can't wait. It's just hold on. It ain't gonna be much longer. It ain't gonna be much longer. Sometimes we put our hands in God's business. Get your hands out his business. He told me to tell people a few weeks ago, them babies are so pretty. Get your hand out of that piggy bank. You know you can't put your hand and squeeze it in that hole to pull nothing out. If you don't break it, you can't get it. And we don't want a whole bunch of pieces to be shattered. We want to keep everything whole. So stop trying to take your little two little fingers to pull whatever it is out that piggy bank you're trying to pull out that piggy bank. And that could be in any area. It ain't necessarily got to be about money. You know what I'm saying? Because as soon as you get married, you're going to get pregnant just like that watch. You will see. I'm telling you. Because it's love in the air. The Lord been showing me that it's just love in the air. And some things is going to happen for some folk and for some people. Hey, babies. All three of them. Little babies. They twins. Everybody be asking you that too. She talking about how, but she got the princess way. Y'all write all that stuff down because we don't want to be in bondage. We don't want to hold on to nothing from our past. We don't want to allow anything to cause us to get into that place where we think and believe that we are not worthy or that we do not have any worth. Y'all write that stuff down on that paper. After you write it down, come put it on the altar. Come put it on the altar. And leave it there. And then start praying for yourself while you're on the altar. Jesus. That word was powerful to me. Because we don't pay this stuff no attention really. Is the chains gone? Now when y'all write this stuff down and put it on the altar, that means you got to leave it on the altar. You can't put it back in your purse or your bag or stick it in your brassiere and take it with you. You got to leave it down there on the altar. That's how you do it. Just right. I'm sick and tired of it. Because there's a lot of times that we don't know how God is working or what he's working or what he's doing or how he's doing it or when he's doing it. But what we do need to understand is that he does his best work in the dark. He said it. He said it. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that the earth was dark and without form and without void and all that. And he came along and said, let there be. He does his best work in the dark. Because if we knew what God was doing, we'll try to do it for him. We'll put that piggy bank money. We'll be putting our hands on. So I want you to take your hands off of it. Step back and move to the side. Let him pass because he's a big old guy. We blocking him. We barricading him. And we preventing him from doing what he does best. And that's simply saying about us. So I want y'all to just close your eyes and just start praying for yourself. Because he's going to work some things out for you tonight. If you feel like you want to scream, you want to holler, you want to cry, you want to run, jump, kick, bite, scratch, dip, bite yourself, don't bite nobody else. Listen, I want y'all to release it on tonight. I don't want y'all to hold on to none of that stuff. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And you got to forgive. Just pray for yourself and ask the Lord to help you to forgive. Dear God in heaven, we come to you first of all thanking you, Lord. We thank you for your loving kindness, your mercies, and your grace. We thank you for any and everything that you are doing in our lives, Lord. And even though we may not understand it or even asking the question, why, God, we know that you know what is best for us, Lord. We are coming to you right now, Father God, because you have given us access to your throne, Lord, that we may make our petition known unto you. The petitions that we are laying at your altar on today, we laying it at your feet, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And we're asking you to come and see about it. We're asking you to lift these things up off our heart and even up off our mind. Lord, your word came forth on tonight, Father God, with power, Lord. You told us, Lord, in the name of Jesus, that this grace is something that we do not even deserve. But yet you give us assistance with it, Lord. You told us that we need to humble ourselves. So help us to humble ourselves, Father God, and sever the spirit of pride. And let us not be stubborn, because that is witchcraft. Help us on tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we will release and loose these things unto you. Because we know that you are the only one that can do something about it, God. We can't do anything about it, Lord, because we have already tried. We have already tried to change a thing, fix a thing, rearrange a thing, and settle a thing. So right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, we land it at your feet, because we know that there's nothing that is impossible with you, Lord. And even in the midst of it all, Father God, continue to show us your mercy, God, and give us a heart of forgiveness and even absolution, Lord, that we will not continue to hold on to these things that got us in a place of bondage, that got us holding our own self hostage, Lord. I'm asking you to help us on tonight, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that we will forgive the unforgivable, accept the unacceptable. Oh God, I'm asking you right now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will help us, God, to reach down inside of our hearts, Lord, and remove these things, God, that causes us to be in a place, Father God, of darkness and of lost hope. Sever that spirit of insecurity. Sever that spirit on today, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that got us thinking and believing, Father God, that we got to be afraid of what's next. Oh God, help us on today, Father God, and whatever it is and however it is that you're going to do it, Father God, we know that you're going to do good, because you are good. Lord, I'm asking you right now to touch it from the top of our head to the very soles of our feet. Remove any and everything out of our thoughts, Father God, that may cause us, Father God, to be in a place of segregation or bewildered, Father God, or even questioning and asking why. Lord, help us on today, Father God, and remove the scales off our eyes and uncork our ears, Lord, that we may hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Remove the hardness of the heart. Help us on today. What's your name, baby? I know everybody else's name. Queen. You gotta forgive. Look, the reason why you gotta forgive is because you can free yourself in your very thoughts. Because let me tell you something. The Bible declares that if you dwell on the past, it'll destroy you. Can I help you out with that? You can't get a do-over. You can't change it. And it don't even exist anymore. So, why are you still holding on to it? Don't hold on to it. Just release and let it go. I know every time you look or every time you see or every time, just let it go.
If I hold out, that's the same.
We always trying to find a way or a thing to escape into. Not face that situation or that thing. But God. But God. Thank you, Jesus. It don't last always. Oh, Father God, I'm asking you to touch each and every individual on this altar. You know us name by name. You number the very hairs on our head. You know just what we need and what we don't need, God. Help your people know tonight, Father God, that rejection was just your protection. See, it's some things that we really cannot handle and cannot go through in certain seasons. So in that season, God would allow you to be rejected because he want to protect you. That does not mean that they don't love you or they ain't come down. But in that season, right there at that moment, he ain't going to give you no more than you can bear. So he'd rather for you to go through it alone than to keep piling up on you and you break. I keep telling y'all, this stuff ain't here to break us, it's to make us. Just what he wants us to be. Just what he designed us to be. Because if you were still there and still, you wouldn't be able to reflect the way you can reflect. You wouldn't be able to hear the voice of the Lord as clear. Because it's so much noise, that circus. You would have been in a prison. You see what I'm saying? So let me say this. God knows what's best for us in every season of our lives. He knows how much we can handle and how much we can't. He's not going to give you no more than he think you can handle. That ain't the kind of God I serve. We all serving the same one because y'all here, right? You see what I'm saying? I won't let go of my faith. That's the song, that's it. We can't let go of our faith. We still got to hold on to that. Don't be deceived by what you see and what you hear, because everything that you see and hear, it really ain't even what it pertains to be. The enemy wants to deceive you, for you to quit, for you to stop. You said it tonight, the enemy wants you to feel like you're wasting your time. When we got to remember, God will redeem that time. It ain't going to be nothing lost. Nothing lost. Because I said that. I said, Lord, I'm shut up. I'll be 58 this year, y'all. I said, Lord, I'm still. He said, I'm a redeemer, baby. I said, don't make me get the switch. Redeem my time, Lord. Seriously, I love y'all so much. I hope it was something said on tonight. Y'all, please keep Sister Gloria in y'all prayers. Because when we first took her to the doctor, they just gave her oxygen and, you know, doing everything that they needed to do. The following day, they put her in intensive care and put on a bigger oxygen machine. But now, y'all, she ain't on a ventilator. She can't even breathe by herself. So please keep Sister Gloria in y'all prayers. Last thing that she said to me while I was up there, we were just talking. She just looked at me and she said, Pastor, I'm tired. I say, girl, you think your work's undone? You think it's tired? She said, I'm tired. So I called up there today to check, and she's still the same. So y'all please keep her in your prayers. I know she done said a lot, she done spoken to a lot of people's lives. So we just want to make sure that we keep her in our prayers, please. I love you guys so much. Don't forget, And just say real loud. I want everybody to say this. I'm taking nothing from my past into my future. I'm leaving that attitude in my past. I'm leaving that old thought that caused me to be bewildered. I'm leaving all that stuff back there. I'm starting afresh and anew right now. Right now. We're not going to allow these things to keep us in that prison. I don't want to be in prison. What you say? You wouldn't last. Okay, so I'm going to tell y'all, I don't think nobody in here lasts. I did tell y'all I was locked up for a long time. Yeah. Wouldn't none of y'all last? Did y'all hear what I say? So just imagine you in prison, because when you in prison within yourself, it stops you from eating. It stops you from sleeping. You don't want to do anything. That's just how it is in a real prison. Every little bitty thing you're scared of. You're looking around. You're cautious. You see what I'm saying? So we want God to do something different for us tonight. So Father God, touch each and every last one of us on tonight, Lord, in the name of Jesus. That we could enter into the new, leaving the past behind. Sever all them old ties and them soul ties, God. That they will not keep us tied up. Lord, I'm asking you to do it for each and every last one of us individually, Lord. In your son Jesus' name. Amen, amen, and amen. You may be seated if you want to. That word just, that just keeps sticking with me. I can't, that grace, that humility, that mercy, and that forgive God, that thing, that's a formula. He always gives us a formula to go by that we will not be in bondage. He does. Now the key is we gonna utilize it? Is we gonna utilize it? I love you guys so much. It's so good to see the face in the place. I miss you guys. I do. I miss you guys so much. We're going to get ready to get our offering. And then we're going to dismiss.